Hello, John. First time caller, long time listener.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Let's go straight to some Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, right?
Now. Pause.
Now.
Pause. All right. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Ben Roethlisberger.
Sucks.
Yeah. Moving on. Rick Pitino? No. He's being evaluated for a...
concussion.
Possible concussion.
You already get a concussion in preseason. That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
You know what I did yesterday?
Got a concussion?
No. No, I didn't get a concussion
yesterday. Gave somebody one?
No. No, I took the Bengals at 10.5 to 1 to win the division.
Yeah.
And hey. Then I see Big Ben already going down. Uh-oh.
Hey, after watching Hard Knocks last night, I might be on the Browns. Forget the Bengals. A change is coming in Cleveland. Did you watch Hard Knocks? Have you seen the first two?
I haven't watched it.
I hadn't either until last night, but it was really good.
We're doing Showtime right now.
Yeah.
And I'm almost caught up with Billions.
Oh, okay.
And then after Billions, I'll probably tell the missus, like, hey, let's go back to HBO. And then I'll watch Hard Knocks. Hopefully I get to watch it before the season.
When do you have to go? You go back and forth?
I just want to have two at the same time. It gets expensive.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't really find myself watching too many movies on there anymore, so really it's just the TV shows I'm watching on there, and they very rarely have two going at the same time that you have to watch.
Yeah.
So we've been catching up on Billions, and like I said, I got like three episodes of this season left, and then I'll say, hey, it's time to go back to HBO.
Well, Hard Knocks has been good. It's been really, really good.
I like Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the good clips, you know, Greg Williams being a psycho. Yeah,
Todd Haley's been, he's been great on there, too.
Todd Haley's probably looking at Hugh Jackson like, why are you telling me what to do as a head coach? Like, check my resume, Hugh Jackson. Like, one of us has made the playoffs as a head coach. It's not you.
One of us didn't win a game last year.
Yeah. Like, it's not you, Hugh Jackson. You're not the coach here who has taken a team to the playoffs. That would be me.
Yeah. I think things are changing in Cleveland. I think things
are changing, too. I think Hugh Jackson will be fired by week four, and then it'll be Todd Haley's time.
You think so?
I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I kind of find myself, every time I watch Hard Knocks, I kind of find myself pulling for that team that year.
Oh, yeah, everyone does.
Yeah. You just kind of get more of an emotional connection with them. So it's been great. Anyway, so Big Ben has a concussion, maybe. He sustained a hit in practice, which seems dumb, and is being evaluated by team doctors as part of concussion protocol, Mike Tomlin said. Why are they letting Big Ben get hit in practice?
That's another question. That is another question. That doesn't seem very smart. I'm telling you, going to be a season of hell from Pittsburgh. They're going to go 8-8, maybe 9-7. Now, I know that's not really a season from hell. It might go worse, but they're gonna be competing for the wild card spot. The Bengals are winning that division. I'm telling you.
They still have the two best players.
Maybe. We don't
maybe
know.
Maybe in the NFL.
We don't know what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell.
No, not Tom Brady. I mean, they're gonna, but yeah, Bell and Antonio Brown. They got two of the top five players in the league.
They do.
Yeah. At least two of the top five skill players.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to throw Aaron Donald in there. Gets, you know, takes you down a little bit. But I mean, in your fantasy, in your fantasy leagues, like Brown and, you know, Bell are two of the top five guys.
Mm-hmm. That they are.
Buckethead writes in, is it safe to say Big Ben's preseason has stalled?
I see what he means there.
That was a genuine smile from Cody. You got Cody to genuinely smile, Buckethead.
Old bathroom Ben. Rick Pitino, his lawsuit against Adidas over an alleged reputation damage has been dismissed by a federal judge. Pitino had claimed that Adidas deliberately defamed his name after he lost his job at Louisville.
And the judge threw it out.
Yeah, the judge said, nope, not going to do this, Rick Pitino. Forget your lawsuit.
Time for Rick Pitino to crawl back in his casket and wait for the sun to go down.
Yeah, the judge in the case sided with Adidas' claim that arbitration out of court is required.
Just not going to acknowledge.
What did you say? I'm sorry. I missed you. I was moving on to the next detail in the story.
It's okay for us to have a conversation.
I know. I was. Sometimes I get stressed in headlines trying to get to the, you know, find the meat of it. What'd you say?
It's fine. It says time for Rick Pitino to crawl back in his coffin and wait for the sun to go down.
Oh, yeah, because he's a vampire. Yeah.
That was funnier the first
time.
Maybe
the judge should have stabbed him in the chest with a wooden stake. That would have been quite a plot twist. Sprinkled some garlic on his face.
Yeah.
Maybe some other things that involve vampires.
Yeah.
Former Michigan star Jabril Peppers said ex-coordinator DJ Durkins.
Former who?
Michigan star Jabril Peppers.
Oh, okay. When I saw his headline, I was thinking it was Julius Peppers.
Different guy.
And I was like, yeah. DJ Durkins has been around that long? Okay, yeah. Jabril Peppers.
Different guy. Okay. Different guy. This guy was a DB. Ex-coordinator DJ Durkins' tactics felt extreme. This is from USA Today Sports. Peppers, now safety for the Browns, said he felt some of Durkin's tactics were extreme at times when he was the DC for the Wolverines in 2015. That's significant right now, of course, because he is on administrative leave as the school investigates a purported culture of fear and intimidation that ultimately may have played a role in Jordan McNair's death. Peppers went on the Rich Eisen show, and he said Durkin was a different guy. You know what I mean? Tactics were different, felt extreme at times. I'm just as shocked reading all the stuff that's going on now. I thought he was only like that because it was his first time coaching us. No, turns out he might just be a psycho.
So if you thought his measures were extreme, I don't understand how you're shocked whenever these things come out.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to make sense. It felt like you would be like, hey, okay, this makes sense. Like,
yeah, par for the course.
If you saw a neighborhood kid beating a crippled bird with a stick, and you found out, you know, 10 years from now that kid turned out to be a serial killer, I don't think you would say, oh, well, that's shocking. I think you would say, oh, yeah, kind of saw that one coming.
I've always been fascinated about how those things tie together. You know, like the
early childhood behavior.
Yeah, like the kid who's cutting off the kitten's arms with scissors ends up being like a total creep. Yeah, kind of weird how that ties together.
I would say that kid, and I don't know where the cutoff is. Like, I don't know about kid who used to, like, pour salt on slugs for fun.
Yeah, because that's...
Like, I did that once or twice.
I did, too.
When I was, like, you know, five or six, and it felt wrong even then.
Right, but you never took a box of kittens and drove down the road and tossed them at stop signs.
Well, no, they'd claw you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unless they're, you know, still small enough that they can't really claw you.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! No, I knew a guy who... It's sick, I know. I think he's probably in jail now. Just some guy I went to school with. He did that.
I would like a follow-up on him.
Yeah, I'd like to know, too. I haven't heard of it. He might have died.
Where's the cutoff? Well,
I think maybe they found him in a field somewhere in southern Arkansas with some gunshot wounds. I might be thinking of somebody else. I don't know. But yeah, he threw kittens at stop signs. That's what kind of guy he was.
I would like to know, like, what the cutoff is for, like, childhood mischief.
I mean, what kind of guy? Like, what has to be going through your mind to be that guy, you know? You see something as fragile as a kitten, as frail and...
Just move on. Just, I'm a cat guy now.
Splat!
I'm a cat guy now.
Are you?
I got my first cat.
Oh, you got you a cat?
Well, I mean...
What's his name? Roy?
Her name.
Her name. Oh, female cat. Yeah, those tomcats can be... They'll drift off. So what's her name?
Luna.
Luna, that seems like a cat's name. Is she black?
No. No, why would I own a black cat? Those are bad luck. Yeah, gray.
Gray, okay. Well, I was thinking Luna. Luna is usually like a, I think like lunar, like moon, so gray. So I don't know why I said black. Wow. Maybe like nighttime, dark,
Sky. I didn't name her, so I don't know like what the train of thought was. But I'm a cat guy now.
Luna, lunar, moon,
you know, there is
moon,
something
darkness.
To the whole thing where they make you earn their affection. There is something to that.
Yeah. Does she have claws?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she does. But I'll tell you, Frank, my wiener dog, he loves coming up and loves pets, and, you know, they're a dime a dozen. But when Luna comes up for a pet, and then when she plops down next to you, you feel like you've accomplished something. I would imagine it's how, like, a stepfather feels. Like, the first time the kid, like, warms up. Like, when you have those moments where, like, the kid, you know, your stepson all of a sudden starts kind of looking at you like, Dad, that's how I feel every time the cat comes and plops down next to me.
Okay.
Is that a weird comparison?
No, I don't think that's... I think that's probably a similar feeling, I would guess. I've never been a stepdad. Cats,
yeah, me neither.
You do kind of have to earn it from cats, though. They're not just going to give you their love freely, like dogs. How does Frank feel about her?
They get jealous of each other. Frank doesn't like me petting other cats.
Yeah. I could see him showing his teeth and...
He doesn't have any teeth.
Growling. No.
Frank's toothless.
I could see him
growling.
But
it's amazing. He keeps eating hard food. I don't know how he does it.
Just riddling away those gum lines.
Maybe.
Wiener dogs are tough. They're a tougher breed.
Wiener dogs are the Conzo Martin of the dog kingdom. I've always said that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not a dog kingdom, so don't correct me, Ben. I saw you creep into the microphone.
A dog kingdom?
Just move on. You got any more headlines?
Yeah, Miami is expected to intentionally walk Ronald Acuna Jr. to begin Wednesday's game today.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. That's a show of respect.
That's what this reporter said, Grant McCauley.
I feel like that's a joke.
Did I just get duped?
I feel like you fell for a joke.
It says he's a Braves reporter.
Surely to God, you can't be that stupid, Cody McClure, to fall for a joke. Surely you do not take our very important headline news segment and fall for a joke. Why on earth would they walk a leadoff hitter?
You just said, really, that's kind of weird. So I think you kind of took the bait as well.
I said, really, that's weird. And then
you said, really, that's weird.
And then I immediately said, no, they're not. Like, you're still over there looking and trying to figure it out. I processed the information and then gave you an answer that's completely ridiculous.
I think it's true.
But the Marlins are so terrible, like, they might as well have fun. Like, it's fun. Like, hey, this guy's on fire. He's opened, like, what, five straight games of leadoff home run now?
No, I think that's right?
No, three straight games? Yeah. How many games in a row has he hit a leadoff home run?
Several. I think this
is... He hit seven home runs in his last eight games.
Yeah, no, this is true. They're going to do this. They're going to intentionally walk him. It's not a joke. It's going to happen.
Where are you seeing this at?
From Grant McCauley.
Like, all he did is tweet it? Like, he just tweeted and said...
Breaking. Miami expected to intentionally walk Ronald Acuna Jr. to begin Wednesday's game.
What time did he say it?
10:31 p.m. last night.
Is it after he hit another
if this
bomb?
I'm going to be so mad if this is a joke.
You want to put it on the board? Do you want to put it on our bet board?
I don't know.
Do you or do you not?
No. Or put one in his ribs. That's what someone else said.
So yesterday you were trying to get me to take the Bengals to win the division on a bet board.
And I'm comfortable with that one.
And you won't give me this one. I was thinking we could do a bet board and like when somebody wins, you know, gets three, the other person has to do something. You know, unless you want to do money, we could just do punishments as well. But you don't want to put this one on there? Because I'm telling you, there's no chance in hell they're intentionally walking this guy to start a game. That'd be the dumbest thing ever.
I thought maybe pitching to him is dumber than that.
Andrew said it was definitely a joke, and he's a Braves expert.
Three straight leadoff home runs, five straight games with a homer, eight home runs in the last eight games. Homered in seven of the last eight games. Acuna. Man, since he got into the leadoff spot, the Braves have kind of righted that ship. Last month, basically the week before the All-Star game, kind of felt like they were teetering. Like, okay, are they going to fall out of contention? Are they going to make a move? And then Acuna just got into the leadoff spot, and he has been unstoppable.
Well, if this is a joke, I'm going to block this guy. Because if you're a reporter, damn it, and you tweet something like this, you're supposed to be reporting news.
He's batting 372, 12 bombs, 24 RBIs, 25 runs in 24 games. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why Miami's going to intentionally walk him.
Put it on the board then, tough guy. Make a bet of it, because there's no chance in hell they're walking him to start the game. I would really respect the Marlins.
I read the news. It's what I do. I read tweets from news reporters, and I say them on the radio.
Where did you even see this tweet?
This is the third time you've asked me this.
No.
From Grant McCauley.
Like just on Twitter?
Yeah, twitter.com.
So it wasn't on like a headlines anywhere?
No, it was twitter.com.
So you're just taking random tweets as news now? That's what.
Well, from
that's
reporters.
What this, that's what this has become?
From news reporters with blue check marks, I kind of think, you know, maybe it should be. Maybe you should report factual information.
So that's where we're at. We're just looking up random reporters and just reading their tweets now.
No, that's not. That's what we do with Kanye, not with reporters.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a different thing.
I'm telling you, Don Mattingly, super serious baseball guy, is not walking Ronald Acuna.
I'm just going to send a direct message here to Grant McCauley. I'm going to say,
please do.
Hi.
Please say, hey, is this serious or are you joking?
Hi, was your tweet a joke or serious?
All right, let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. So we get set to talk Tennessee football next segment. Let's go ahead and start brainstorming. What are you laughing about?
There's never been an intentional leadoff walk in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing in the world. It's the dumbest thing in the world. How dumb do you feel right now for falling for that?
Well,
you ruined headlines. We're supposed to be giving people headline news, and you fall for a joke.
I'm just going to delete this tweet. I feel kind of dumb, but at the same time, I feel kind of mad because I think if I'm following a reporter for baseball coverage, here's the thing. These stupid reporters who make jokes on the internet.
Here we go. Let's blame the media for you falling for a joke. I want to see you spin your way out of this.
Well, let me ask you this, honestly. Don't all these reporters think that they're witty and they're funny and they can make these jokes? When have you ever seen a reporter make a joke that was actually funny?
I mean,
they all have that thing about them where they think, oh, this is funny. I'm going to make a witty joke. I'm sorry. Maybe if I follow you, maybe it's because I want my Braves news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am craving Atlanta Braves news, and that's why I follow you, Grant McCauley, a news reporter, not for your stupid jokes that no one laughs at.
I mean, do you think Tennessee beat reporters just tweet
news? Oh, God,
news?
They're the worst. Most of them. Except for Jesse Simonton, of course. But
do you think they're just tweeting news all day? Like, you follow enough reporters to know that not every tweet is serious.
Maybe I just don't know a lot about baseball. You know, maybe that's part of it.
Right, I don't know how you're trying to spin this into yelling at reporters for trying to make a joke.
Can we just cut out the first half of the second hour, Ben? Let's move on. I don't know much about baseball. I admit it. I don't know a lot about the sport.
It's okay. Takes a big man to admit it.
However, I did get some Smokies tickets, thanks to Davey Hudson.
Well, I guarantee you when you go to watch the Smokies that they will not walk the leadoff batter intentionally.
Yeah. One field level seat. Might just sell these. Got four Smokies tickets here. Davey gave them to me for free, and I'll sell them for $20.
They're $10 tickets, I believe, so you're giving them half price. You're going with the food stamp route. Food stamps on the street.
Yeah.
50 cents on the dollar.
No, I kind of want to go to a Smokies game. Well.
Okay. Did you actually DM that guy?
No, I quote tweeted it, and then I deleted it because I felt dumb.
What was your quote tweet? You asked if this was serious.
I was like, "Hi, Grant, is this real or not? I just reported it as live news on live radio, and apparently it's not real." And I said, "Am I just an idiot, or are you just really bad at jokes, or both?" And then, you
know. I mean, Tony La Russa walked Barry Bonds one time with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
That's probably the closest thing we've gotten to this. I believe it was a two-run game.
So it's not like out of the realm of possibility.
I believe it was a two-run game. It might have been a three-run game. I don't know. But bases were loaded, and that was when you did not pitch to Barry because Barry was probably going to hit a home run. And La Russa just intentionally walked him like, nope, we're going to walk in this run, and we're going to face Jeff Kent because Jeff Kent is not Barry Bonds. That's probably the closest example to intentionally walking the leadoff batter. Was just like, nope, not pitching to Barry. Not going to do it.
I guess I just didn't think out of the... I thought he was so hot, maybe. Right now, it wasn't out of the realm of possibilities. My mistake.
It's okay.
I do apologize to all of our Atlanta Braves fans in the audience, who I apparently, of which there are many, even more than the Lady Vols. Taking a lot of L's with the Braves today. The hell with the Braves.
According to my research, it was not Tony La Russa. I could have swore he did it too. It was Buck Showalter.
Wasn't he the Cardinals GM? Or not GM, but manager?
Yeah. This came when it was the Diamondbacks, actually. So it was Buck Showalter.
So I'm a Cardinals guy. Two-run
game, and he intentionally walked bunts.
I'm a Cardinals guy.
You're a Cardinals guy?
Cardinals and Dodgers. Those are my two favorite
teams. I don't
think
you can be both. Did you see the fight last night in your Dodgers game?
Yeah.
Walk me through it.
Well, there was a scuffle.
No, without typing. Look me in the eyes.
I'm not typing anything. I'm looking right in your eyes.
Look me in the eyes and describe
I'm looking in your eyes.
The Dodgers fight last night.
Well, of course, the California rivalry, the great California rivalry with the Giants.
It started as a New York rivalry.
The benches cleared because the Dodgers used to be in Brooklyn. And the
Giants did too.
The Giants.
They both used to be in New York.
Giants were in Brooklyn? Or
New York. Not New Brooklyn, York. But they're in New York.
New York Giants?
Yeah, that's why. I mean, that's why Chris Berman calls them the New York football Giants, because there used to be the New York baseball Giants.
Uh-huh. I knew the Dodgers were in Brooklyn. So the Yankees were there too? They had three teams?
Yeah. Or were the Yankees the Mets? There yet?
The Mets they didn't have there. The Mets.
The Mets weren't there. Yeah, but the Yankees were there, though. Yeah, Yankees were there. Yeah.
Three teams?
Yeah.
Well, last night, I've learned a lot today about baseball. The benches cleared out as Yasiel Puig and Nick Hundley had a beef. They really went at it near the mound. You could see the catcher was involved, the umpire trying to keep them apart, and just they said, no, we're going to go after it. We're going to get it on right here.
Pretty solid breakdown of the fight.
Yeah, Dodgers and Giants brawled.
Yeah, pretty solid breakdown. It's always the white guy and the Latin guy get into a fight. That's how it always happens in baseball.
Why?
Difference of culture, I guess. Not respecting the game.
Who usually starts it? Is it the white guy or the Latin guy?
The Latin guy usually does something that the white guy doesn't like, and then the fight starts.
Yeah. So the white guy has the temper, and the Latin guy is usually an instigator.
No, I mean, I'm not going to say the white guy always has the temper, but it usually stems from Latin guy does something flashy, white guy doesn't like it, says something, and then, you know, in last night's instance, Puig was the one who threw the first shove, I believe. He's the one that had the temper. Baseball's kind of a race war. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, if you watch the Braves, I mean, Acuna and Albies, like, they're pretty flashy. Whenever the Braves start winning, they're going to start rubbing people the wrong way. Jesse Simonton from VolQuest joins us next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. About to have Jesse Simonton on the McKinney Team Hotline. But before I grab him, let me tell you about my friends Travis and Emily McKinney. They have one simple philosophy. The clients come first. They understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing moment. That's why their team of highly seasoned real estate professionals is dedicated to providing their clients with exceptional personalized service. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more, or you can contact them via phone at 865-548-8267. ZillowKnoxville.com, 865-548-8267. That is the McKinney Team with Keller Williams. Let's go to the McKinney Team Hotline. Let's bring on Jesse Simonton, reporter for VolQuest. Jesse, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good to hear from you. When Trey Smith gets cleared, what position do you anticipate he returns at? Is he going to be back at guard, or is there a chance he gets shuffled along at one of those tackle positions?
Well, I mean, I personally think Tennessee should absolutely play Trey at tackle. Yesterday was probably the most contact work he's had at practice thus far. He was out there working actually at left guard, doing some combo blocking stuff with Drew Richmond. But I think with kind of the concerns of you know, Drew Richmond's inability or kind of lack of development the last couple seasons, I would put Trey at left tackle. I think, you know, Drew was kind of hesitant about whether or not he'd actually repped at right tackle this summer. We saw that earlier this week at practice, and I think that's going to continue. I think you're going to see the possibility that, you know, slide Drew out to the opposite side and actually let Trey Smith maybe be JG or Keller Chris blindside protector.
Okay, so in your scenario, Richmond would then just flip to the right side, correct?
Yes, and but I do think, I mean, Richmond's the guy that's going to have to battle for his spot. You know, I mean, you know, Marcus Tatum kind of had cement feet, you know, at times in the spring game, but I think the staff feels like he's kind of slowly coming on. Where's Jameer Johnson? I mean, they signed Jameer Johnson to kind of be a plug-and-play guy. I think he's having a bit of conditioning issues right now with the heat, but they certainly feel like maybe a couple weeks into the season he'll be ready, so... you know, no guy I think is really guaranteed other than Trey at starting somewhere on the starting five. Brandon Kennedy probably as well. But so Drew's going to have to absolutely fight for a spot, whether it's at left, right, or just maybe being the sixth guy.
As we start looking at the guards, is it going to be Ryan Johnson? Is Ryan Johnson in position to start? Like, where are we looking at from left to right? Let's I guess negate the tackles since we've already hit those. You think Kennedy has a good chance to be the center? Where are we looking at the guard positions?
Yeah, if Kennedy's locked in at center, which I think he is, I mean, he obviously hasn't played a ton of football, but he comes from Bama, and he's, you know, the staff feels very comfortable about his leadership ability, and so if you plug him in, pencil him in there at center, I think Ryan Johnson does have a great chance to start at one of the guard spots. He's going to have to battle for his position, but the fact that the staff, I think, can trust him, he's a guy that moves pretty well in terms of, I think Tennessee's going to be pulling a little bit more. And then, you know, well, it kind of depends on where Trey gets suited up, but I think a guy like Jerome Carvin may not start now against West Virginia. I think he was in line to start against West Virginia earlier this summer, but he's had, as we had on VolQuest about a month ago, you know, he broke his foot, slight fracture. He's been back out there doing everything in fall camp thus far, but I think it kind of put him behind the eight ball a little bit conditioning-wise. I don't think it'll surprise anybody, though, that when Florida comes to town, if Jerome Carvin, freshman from Memphis, is starting on the offensive line for Tennessee, and that he would be at one of the guard spots left or right.
As we kind of start looking towards that West Virginia game, on the defense, what unit does it feel like the coaches are most concerned with? Defensive line, linebacker, secondary, all of the above. Where are we at with the defense?
You know, I'm gonna say, John, that they're probably most concerned with the ability to stop the run. So I think they feel like they can actually, you know, maybe the light's coming on for a guy like Congbo. They feel like Daryl Taylor and some of these other guys can give them some pass rush. That was obviously gone from a year ago. Tennessee was ranked in the bottom of the SEC in sacks, but I think there's still some real concerns about this defense's ability to actually stop the run. And you know, there's only four true defensive linemen, I think, that they are really known quantities, and even that's kind of a stretch to say when you're talking about Shy Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, those two guys, obviously, but Alexis Johnson and Emmett Gooden are junior college guys. Alexis has been here for 2 years, hasn't really done that much. Emmett Gooden's a guy that, you know, Tennessee plucked him off of Last Chance U, and he has a real chance to be starting, whether it's game one or early in the season. So, but outside of those four guys, there's not a lot of known there. Can you get anything out of Matthew Butler? I think they're absolutely trying to get some freshmen, you know, ready in a hurry because they need some guys to play behind those first four guys.
Jesse, as far as stopping the run goes, I mean, I know in a 3-4, it's kind of set. You need a really good nose man. You need a big guy there in the middle to help you. But looking at the defense last year and comparing it to what Tennessee's going to have this year, what do you think is going to be more important in terms of these guys being able to stop the run? Is it going to be the guys like Kongbo and Darrell Taylor and linebackers and their ability to tackle? Or is it going to be, you know, being able to kind of have a stalemate on the defensive line up front and your bigger guys, your interior guys like Shy Tuttle? What do you think the importance is going to be of tacklers versus run stuffers compared from this year to last year, if that makes sense?
Well, I mean, that makes sense, Cody. I mean, I think last year's scheme, I do think that Bob Stoops didn't forget how to coach at Tennessee, but for whatever reason, you know, when you compare the talent that he had here versus what he was working with at Vanderbilt and Penn State, it was almost like, you know, he threw the rake out on the field and just had Tennessee's own players jumping on it and nailing themselves instead of actually doing their jobs. I mean, it was kind of laughable, some of the scheme stuff Tennessee was doing a year ago. So I think the fact that they're going to have more competent coaching there will help both of those spots. But in terms of whether it's linebackers or defensive line, I mean, I think it's going to be they're expecting Shy Tuttle and Emmett Gooden specifically to kind of be that nucleus and linchpin in the middle and allow this two-gap scheme for a guy like, you know, Daniel Batuli, Corte Sapp, Darren Kirkland back to really be able to flow to the football and make some plays. I mean, Tennessee was just really bad a year ago at making negative plays, and that was a huge reason why they were just gashed consistently in the run.
I know it's cliche to ask about the difference from coaching staff to the next coaching staff, but I'll ask it like this. Do you think the new coaching staff will make enough of an impact in year one to really win some games for Tennessee? Or is it going to just kind of be teams you have more talent than, teams you're at home against, you have a good chance? Or is this coaching staff going to be enough to, in your opinion, make up the difference, you know, from a talent gap, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, John, I don't know if they'll be able to make up a talent gap against teams like, you know, Bama and Georgia and that deal. But I do think the fact that there's going to be some competency there, specifically at, you know, wide receiver, I think there's going to be an upgrade. I mean, Tennessee has, you know, this kind of three-headed coaching monster with Jeremy really, you know, presiding over the cornerbacks. You got Terry Fair there as well, and Charles Kelly's a very acclaimed defensive backs coach. You got those three guys. Obviously, that's been a position that's kind of languished the last couple of years. Tennessee was kind of paper champion against the pass a year ago because no teams didn't have to throw the ball. So I think just the upgrade kind of across the board, there's a hope that, you know, I think that whether in some of these close games that Tennessee's had in the last couple seasons, that I think there's some confidence in the program that they have kind of the right guys with the headsets on now.
I had heard that Pruitt is going to be continuing to signal the defense as the head coach, like basically being on the sideline and doing what he's always done as a coordinator. Is that fairly common in college football these days for a defensive guy to do that, or is that kind of a thing that Pruitt's doing that most guys don't do?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kirby does some of that too at Georgia, and I do think it's going to probably be a similar deal from what I've heard, where I do think Kevin Scherer is still going to actually be the play caller. You know, and Kevin would even tell you that Jeremy Pruitt is still the defensive coordinator at Tennessee, even though he's the head coach. But I do think Scherer is going to be on the field as well, actually calling the plays and kind of to keep Pruitt engaged. I think Pruitt wants to continue to actually relay those signals of the play, whether it's to the secondary, defensive line, what have you. But in the end, I mean, this is Jeremy Pruitt's defense, and they're going to kind of run it in his mode.
Jesse Simonton, VolQuest.com, joins us on the McKinney Team Hotline. All right, before I let you go, let's do some rapid-fire position battles, and you give me your thoughts on them, okay?
Let's do it.
Let's start with the quarterback position, Garantano or Crist?
Garantano, I still think that the fact that the betting numbers out there have it flipped is just kind of mind-boggling to me.
What do we think at the cornerback positions? Is it going to be Taylor? Are we going with two freshmen out there? What's it looking like?
No, not two freshmen. I think watch Bryce Thompson, you know, halfway through the season. But I think it's going to be Alante and Baylen Buchanan. The staff is really – Baylen did not have a strong open practice that we got to go to, but apparently he's had a really – really nice summer and good off season. So Baylen and Alante.
I guess the safety position. You know, I'd read that, you know, Nigel Warrior had maybe been struggling a little bit to understand the concepts of the defense. Where are we looking at the safety positions?
Yeah, I think they're still going to go with upside there. So Nigel, he's getting pushed, but it'll be Nigel and Micah Abernathy. And again, watch out for another freshman. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt and the staff believes that Trayvon Flowers, a kid that came from the same high school as Dominique Sanders at Georgia, a guy that Pruitt kind of plucked at the end when he was at Georgia, you know, several years ago. Very similar player, excellent ball skills. I wouldn't be surprised if Trayvon Flowers enters the mix eventually, but it'll be Nigel and Mike, I'd say, against West Virginia.
Since we're speaking of freshmen, let me ask one more question. J.J. Peterson, A, do you think he makes it on campus this year? B, if he does make it, will he have a chance to even make an impact since he's getting here so late?
Man, that's tough. I mean, Rush has been about all this, and his comments that, you know, he says that we'll know something by Friday. The timeline has been pushed back, I think, at least four or five times already thus far. And the fact that Jeremy Pruitt was so adamant at SEC Media Days and saying absolutely and J.J.'s still not here is certainly a concern. I mean, if he's not here by this weekend, it's hard to believe with classes starting next Wednesday that he'll be here. If he does arrive, I think the expectations obviously have to be tempered. He was a guy that, even if he was Tennessee's most ballyhooed signee in that 2018 class, now that he's missed an entire offseason, really the majority of training camp, going to be hard for him to do much more than special teams until maybe late in the year. I guess if he does show up, guys, he'd be a nice beneficiary of the new redshirt rule, where he probably wouldn't play early in the season, but maybe Tennessee gets him on the field the last four games of the year when they're trying to make a bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting twist that I think Tennessee is going to be able to take advantage of. All right, tell me what you're working on at VolQuest right now.
I just had a story just coming out on Kongbo. We got all sorts of practice coverage. We're in high gear and for training camp, y'all, so plenty of stuff. We got podcasts, all sorts of stuff, so come check us out.
All right, let's do it again the week of the West Virginia game. I'll talk to you soon, Jesse.
Absolutely. Next time you guys have me on, we got to talk the challenge. Bananas
oh.
is coming
oh,
back.
Oh, wait, hold on.
From.
Yeah. Well, did you watch last night?
Yeah.
Can I say that I'm getting frustrated with the challenge's new setup of how we don't get a competition and an elimination? They're stretching this out way too long.
Oh man, it's brutal. I've actually been saying for the last couple of years, I'm ready for them to just go back to full team. I think the politics of having 10 on 10 or 12 on 12 and the infighting with actual teams instead of the two or individuals or whatever, I want them to do back like the old school challenge days with full teams. Also, kids, for people that are watching this show, I know John talked about it a bunch. Brad is the prime example of what happens when you mix steroids, brown liquor, and just pure insanity.
Yeah, and a woman who leaves you in your midlife crisis. Yeah. Like Brad is
midlife
a
midlife crisis. Yes, midlife crisis.
Brad absolutely. Is a petri dish of disaster. I hate Brad so much. I don't think it's fair that he's on, you know, that him and Kyle are on teams. I don't get how they're doing like two really good male teams and then some are mixed match because my guy Zach, I mean, like, how's he supposed to compete against two other teams of two guys?
Especially a guy named Brad.
I mean, I'm glad that someone else is still watching it, though, Jesse. I'm glad to have someone to talk to it about.
Are you the one kids who are trying to ruin this franchise? Bananas and those guys won't let it die.
Hey, you bite your tongue. Cam and Tori. They're heaven sent. I love them. They're Are You the One people.
Right.
I love Tori. I love Cam. Appreciate the time, Jesse. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Take us out, Ben. We'll come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
It's a around town and around the world. Knoxville's fully interactive sports radio revolution is streaming on foxsportsknoxville.com and our free app, Fox Sports Knoxville, fan run radio.
All right, let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. Let's grab Nate from Atlanta. Nate from Atlanta, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Great to be back on with you. Just had a quick comment and question about something Jesse Simonson had to say. Love when you guys have him on over from VolQuest. A lot of great info. He said he thought that if J.J. Peterson did make it here by the weekend, that he foresees some kind of situation, the redshirt situation where he gets on the field maybe the last four games of the season. Do you really think Jeremy Pruitt holds that man off the field all the way to the last four games of the season?
It's a fair question, but man, we don't know. Like, we keep hearing that these veterans, like Nigel Warrior, who, I mean, you would think has more experience in a college defense, having trouble learning the defense. So, like, do we expect J.J. Peterson, who, I mean, quite frankly, is having trouble passing a high school class? Do we expect him to come in and be able to grasp the concepts that a linebacker would have to have, especially one in the middle of your defense? Like, I think it's a fair concern whether or not he would know where to go or what to do on defense. It's not like he's a pass rusher that you could just plug in and tell him to go get the quarterback. He'd be kind of in the middle trying to control the defense.
I think there's a big difference there. I think learning a defense and learning football stuff, big difference than passing a math class.
Well, I understand that, but I do think going from your first year of college from high school, I do think that's also
he's going to have a lot on his plate. Yeah, right, with college classes and stuff like that. I get what you're saying. I just, some guys can handle football stuff and, you know, off the field, not so much.
Understandable.
And I understand, too, J.J. Peterson's the number three rated outside linebacker in the country on 24/7 Sports.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, maybe he could be an impact player somewhere else in the field, special teams, kickoff, you know, whatever. You know, an athlete like that, you know, you find ways to get him on the field. I just find it hard to believe that we're going to wait till, you know, we get that red shirt, you know, era where he got that last four games of the season so he could still qualify next season.
Well,
you know, I just don't see him holding off that long.
Nate, I do think you have to keep in mind, like, what October is. Like, mm-hmm. that gauntlet run of October of, you know, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, like, at that point, does a J.J. Peterson swing a game if he gets here, or would you rather have him for a full another year? That also might go into play.
Especially if he's as good as you think he could be down the road, you're probably only expecting three out of him.
Sure. I mean, there is that, too. Maybe he could swing a South Carolina game, and he's going to leave after 3 years anyways. But let's not focus on him leaving or redshirt. Let's just get him on campus first.
That would be great.
You got anything else for me, Nate?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time. Y'all have a great rest of the day.
Hey, great phone call. Who we got next? We got Roger. Let's grab Roger. What's up, Roger? You're on the McKinney Team Hotline.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Roger?
How y'all doing?
Doing good, man.
Feeling good today,
talking some Tennessee football.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Y'all get more excited. Y'all get more excited about it.
Getting pumped up. Yeah, we're getting pumped up. We're what, 2.5 weeks away?
Yeah, honestly.
Is it 17 days, T. Martin Day is away?
I believe it's actually 15. I saw 16 yesterday.
Jans and Jackson days away?
15 days away would be the 30th, Binley.
Well, yeah. I saw 16 yesterday. I'm sorry. It might have been at midnight.
I'm just telling you that 15 days from the 15th would be the 30th, and we'll play on the 1st. That's 17 days away. Cut your mic off, Binley.
Be 16.
Cut your mic off, Binley. Go ahead, Roger. You go ahead. You keep talking, Roger. I'm yelling at Ben, not you.
Huh?
I said I'm yelling at Ben, not you. You keep going.
Keep your mic on, Roger.
You keep going.
All right. I just want to ask you about. I know that Sunday, Pruitt talked about the win and stuff. I just wanted to ask you what y'all thought about what he said about Sunday. I think he thought. We are talking about what he said about Sunday.
The church service?
Not.
About going to church or about the team quarterback battle? Which one are you talking about, Roger?
Everything he said. Everything he said.
He said a lot of things about everything he said, but theme-wise.
About scrimmage.
I think that he's right that you should want your quarterbacks to want to be the best player at the program. I do think that was okay. I think it rubbed some people the wrong way, but I do think, like, you should set the bar higher. Like, hey, not I want to be the starter, but I want to be the best player on the team. I do think that mentality from a quarterback's good. The church stuff was cool. What else did he say at the scrimmage, Cody?
You know, I mean, just talking about how the defense is coming along and things like that, too. I mean, that's what has been most interesting to me is learning about the defense. And I'm kind of like Roger. When we were talking to Jesse last segment, I found myself getting excited, too. I was getting pumped, thinking about, I even wrote it down in my notepad over here, going through all the different guys at different positions and excited about the corners, Alante Taylor and Baylen Buchanan. And, oh, there's just so much to be excited about, Roger. There really is.
Appreciate the phone call, Roger. Have a good day, brother.
There really is. I found myself getting excited when we were talking to Jesse. I was thinking about that defense. Yeah. Picturing a starting lineup.
I keep going back, and I've been thinking before I get there. I keep thinking about this dream I had last night.
I hope it was better than mine.
Do you need to talk about yours first?
No, you go ahead.
I mean, are you trying to make my talk about my dream about you? Is that what you're trying to do right now?
No, I'm saying you go ahead.
Like, I'm talking about me having a dream, and you start interjecting about your dream. So do you need to go about your dream first?
No, I said I hope yours was better than mine. I had a bad one.
Would you like to talk about it?
No. You go ahead. I'm not trying to step on your dreams.
Well, I had a dream. I was at Sweet Peas. Yeah.
Knew another guy who had a dream once.
I was at Sweet Peas.
That's a good dream.
This is a true story. I'm not making this up. Isn't me trying to plug the sponsor. I had a dream I was at Sweet Peas last night. And that I was going to have one of those big burritos with barbecue chicken and slaw and mac and cheese. I get the beans out and I put the mac and cheese in.
Oh. By yourself? Or you have them put it in there?
I have them do it.
Okay. I thought maybe you opened it up and then wrapped it back up. I didn't know they'd do that for you. Please continue. So you're eating a mac and cheese pork burrito with coleslaw at Sweet Peas.
But I go to bite in it, and it's nothing but mac and cheese, and it wasn't good. Which, you know, obviously in real life, just a mac and cheese burrito might be good, but
especially at Sweet Peas.
I wanted the burrito to have everything in it, and all I got was, like, just stale mac and cheese, and I was so disgusted and mad, and I'm just sitting there eating it, and I'm like, man, I really thought I was about to get some good food, and now I got to eat this mac and cheese burrito, and I've been thinking, like, what was this from? I'm trying to tap in, and I'm trying to think,
deeper meaning.
What's the deeper meaning? Why am I dreaming of this? And I think it just hit me.
You don't have enough protein in your life?
No, I eat a lot of chicken. I have plenty of protein. I even drank a protein shake 2 days ago.
Why?
Because I was working out. Actually, me and Jesse were working out, and that's when I was like, hey, you want to come on the show? He's like, yeah, sure. We talked. Me and him were at the Y, and there's this whole thing. He was sitting across from me when I was bench pressing, and then I was like, well, I got to make sure I put some more weight on it because I don't want him going back and telling everybody that Reed's a big guy, but, man, he was only benching like 130 pounds.
Media market's competitive.
Like, I didn't want to just get – I was in there just trying to get some reps up, and then I was like, okay, let me throw this extra weight on. And
Jesse Simonton.
It's still not a lot of weight, but I was by myself, and, when you're by yourself, you don't want to risk crashing because if you crash by yourself, man, there's nothing more embarrassing.
Yeah, chest caves in, you stop breathing.
Like, I could just sit there and I could just die right in front of him.
You could.
So then I put on some extra weight, and I'm in there doing my reps, and then now my wrist is hurting.
Yeah.
My wrist is really hurting, but then I went home and
who knows what that's from?
I went home. No, I'm a lefty. Went home and I ate some. I got some protein. So, no, I'm not protein deprived. What I was trying to say was my dream, I think, is from being excited about this West Virginia game.
How does a mac and cheese burrito tie in?
Because the mac and cheese and the chicken and the slaw burrito is one of my favorite foods, and it's kind of like an exciting West Virginia game where we beat West Virginia or we compete with West Virginia. But when you bite into it, it's just a mac and cheese stale burrito, and it's not good. It could be the equivalent of just getting our brains beat in by West Virginia. Like, I'm excited, but then when I actually get there, we're excited for the West Virginia game, but when we actually start watching it and Will Greer starts throwing all over us,
we're like, as good as we thought it was.
Yeah, no, not ready for this football season. I'm not excited yet, no.
Oh, okay, I'm seeing the connection now. I think the connection.
It finally clicked.
Well, maybe the defense will come out hot and you'll get the chicken and the coleslaw as well.
Hour two. Finito. In the books. Hour three. Stepping to the plate.
Overrated, underrated.
Overrated, underrated. Headlines, pump the brakes. Hour three is going to be jam-packed. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Volunteer.